If I walked into church this morning wearing the clothes that I wore about 5 weeks ago, I would have looked ridiculous. To walk today in a thick winter coat with a hat and scarf and gloves, I would have had some very strange looks outside, wouldn't I? Why is that? Because if I'd walked in dressed that way, I would have been dressed for a past season, not a present one. But there's another level of that, if I take that into the spirit realm, that I believe God calls us to prepare, not just for how today's season is going to live out, but he actually calls us to prepare for the next season. That time sitting in the coffee shop and dreaming about what transform could be all those years ago was God giving me some clues for a future season. And I believe that God is the God of the seasons. We can't change the seasons, but we prepare for the seasons that God wants us to step into. And I believe we're in a time where there is a season shift that is taking place. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1 says these words. It says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. God is the God of the seasons. He rules the times. He controls those moments and those times that he leads us into. He connects the dots together. He's masterly. He shows off sometimes at the sheer level of detail that he puts into something. And he is a God who oversees those things. But I believe that we can miss the seasons if we insist on wearing the clothing for yesterday's season. And as we step into a week of prayer and fasting, I want to just finish off this gathering this morning by stirring up your hearts to prepare for the new season that is coming. See, I've always understood seeing a picture, if you like, of seasons in God. And what do I mean by seasons in God? Well, there are times when things in our life seem to be in a place of flourishing. There are things in my garden now that are beginning to flourish that just a few months ago were dead and they looked lifeless because it stepped into a new season, and things do different things in different seasons. And I've always understood the seasons of my walk with God to almost be like a single running track where I begin to run and I'm in the middle of summer and all the signs of summer are around me. And then suddenly as I'm running, I begin to notice some leaves on the ground. And I think, oh, I must be stepping into an autumn season. And then it begins to get really cold and you begin to shiver on the journey. You think, I'm in winter now. And then you notice there are daffodils growing. And you think, wow, I've made it to Wales. And it's spring. And different signs for different seasons. But the other day I was traveling north on the M5 where there's some of those four lanes on the way to around the Bristol area. And I felt God gave me a picture. And it was a picture of these four lanes, each representing a season. And as I'm traveling in front of me, there was a car that was in the wrong lane. What do I mean he was in the wrong lane? Well, he was driving slower than the people in the slow lane. And there were people overtaking him on every side. And as a result of that, because he was in the wrong lane, people were applying their brake lights and it was affecting their driving. It was affecting their experience. And you know, when you are in the wrong season, it doesn't just affect you, it affects those people around you. There's a call upon the church of God to rise and to be stepping into its correct season, because if we don't, it affects those around us. And so as I'm driving on this four-lane motorway and I'm noticing that the choice of my season makes a difference to other people around me, I begin to wonder, why has that person not moved from their lane? Why didn't they just pull over? Why didn't they just go in the slow lane? Why didn't they just move their tractor into the slow? No, it wasn't a tractor. It was just a car. It's okay. Why haven't they just moved over? And I think some people just don't like changing lanes, do they? It's safer in their view to just keep going, to just keep going the way you've always gone, to keep in that place where you don't have to check your mirrors. You don't have to look around and think, is it safe to pull out? It just seems more comfortable to stay the course. And I mean many Christians like that. They've been in the same season, wearing the same winter coat for 20 years. They're just stuck in a season. They're stuck in a lane. And I want to put out prophetically to you this morning that God wants to shift the seasons. He wants to shift the seasons in your life. And I believe that God is shifting the seasons in the church. You say, well, what do you mean? Because it feels like we've had a bit of a summer. There's a lot of life. There's a lot of vibrancy around. But this is not summer. This is but the start. This is the shoots of spring that you're seeing. You see, because the famous preacher Martin Lloyd-Jones said that revival is like heaven visiting earth for a period of time. We're not there. This is good, but it's not that good. Anybody alive? This is not that. See, there are 1.1 million people in Devon. And I believe that when we find our season, and when the people of God drive and move into their correct season, I believe that it affects those around us. See, as Jamie, I was at the Young Adults Night the other week where he nervously stood up and said, hey guys, I've just had this silly idea. Let's give out some hot dogs. Anybody want to join me this week? And it just seemed like a little idea, but for him it involved just a bit of movement from the lane he'd been traveling in. But his decision to change lanes, his decision to move into something new, has affected other people. And he had no idea that it would affect more than those who he'd give the hot dogs to. But actually, it's affected some of you this morning. Because when you align your life to the season of God, it affects those around you. It makes a difference. When I began to think, what could we do that would provoke people to step into their right season? I think God has provided it all. So in Ephesians, we read about church leadership, we were in ministry, that God has gifted the church, the big church, the global church, with certain ministry gifts. He has gifted the church with the apostle, the pastor, the teacher, the prophet, and the evangelist. They're all very different people. And over the years, we've had pastors lead churches. And that's great because they look after people, they love people, they care for people, they oversee and shepherd people well, and that's great. But there's a danger that when only a pastor is driving the car, that everybody in the car is well looked after, but we just stay in the same lane. Some churches have evangelists driving them, and they're just crazy because no one feels loved. They just, come on, let's go and save. I don't know why I went into a silly accent then. Let's go and save Exeter for the Lord. Who are? And then some teachers lead churches and they're brilliant. They expound the scriptures and open up revelation. And everybody goes away feeling full, but not really using the energy that they've been filled with. And I believe there's a reason why God has placed five ministry gifts together. And I imagine these five people sitting in a car, in a shifting lane. And, I can imagine the apostle, he's got his map out, she's got her map out, and just looking and thinking, this is where we're going, guys. This is where we're going. Come on, we can do it. We can take this mountain. Come on, there's enough energy in this car. We can do it. I have faith to believe for this. And that's the apostle. Then the prophet is saying, just let you know, in 2 miles, we need to turn left. There's some direction change that's coming that we need to listen to the Lord. Then the teacher is saying, I just want to point out to you what those road signs mean on this road. We need to be mindful of the highway code. We need to do this correctly, guys. Then the pastor is busy therapeutically talking to the others and saying, so how are you feeling about this, guys? Things okay? By the way, here's some sweets. Let me keep you sustained. Something sweet in the mouth. And the evangelist, they're just waving at everybody on the motorway through the window. And we've got these 5-4 ministry gifts together. And I believe God has blessed his people, the global church, with these giftings so they can help shift the seasons. Because you and I, we get comfortable, but God wants us to shift and to move into something new, something greater. We have some shift stuff coming up. In May, we've got a couple of prophets coming into the church. And so we was due to have a lady come in called Emma Stark back, I think in March, but it got canceled. Her name was Emma, and it got canceled because Storm Emma hit Exeter. And she's coming with just a whole load of stuff that she's going to speak into the life of the church. And we've managed to rearrange that for the end of May. Earlier in May, I'm taking all our leadership team away for the day, and we've got another prophet coming in and going to spend some time speaking into the life of the leaders. And I thank God for the office of the prophet and for the ministry of the prophet, because we don't want to stay in the same lane. I don't want to manage a church, guys. I want to facilitate and be a part of being obedient to God when he says shift lanes, shift seasons. Because we're not here to just run services and run church and run programs. We're here to advance the kingdom of God and stir it up within us. So I thank God for the prophet. But listen to this. This is great. In January this year, in one of our Hour of Power prayer meetings, one of our members of the church stood up and said, I've had a picture for the church. See that again, that prophetic, just shifting the season. I've had a picture. Some of you would have been there. He said, I just see a picture of all of the church, Rediscover Church, worshiping in the city center of Exeter. So as he's saying that, I'm sending a message to the elders and saying, just to let you know, one of the guys in the church has had this picture. Let's chat about it next time we meet. Well, we've amazingly more than chatted about it now. And the council, the city center management, have given us permission to hold one of our church services in the heart of the city center on the first Sunday in June. Isn't that amazing? So, first Sunday of June, Sunday morning, we're going to meet 10 o'clock here for 20 minutes. We'll pray, sing a song, talk about what we're going to do, take the offering, and then we'll all walk up together up to the city center where there's a big stage prepared and the band is all ready to go, and we're going to worship and declare the gospel right in the heart of Princess Hay. Isn't that amazing? Brilliant. I think it's a shift in season. You know, we've not had to protest, we've not had to have awkward conversations. They've just said, it'd be great. Provide the stage if you want us to. What can we do to help? We'll give you the electric. So it's amazing. And it's going to be right in that part, just outside Debenhams. So it's right in the focal point of the city. And every time you walk through that city over the next month, would you pray that that day there will be a day of Pentecost experience in the city center of Exeter. Would you do that? Come on, let's be a part of just a special day. Some of you are clapping and you thought, oh dear, some of my friends shop on a Sunday in Exeter. They're going to see me. This is going to be like a coming out exercise for some people here. And this, like, if you want to, we'll take some screens up that you can stand behind and provide some baseball caps and sunglasses that you can hide. Actually, no, I don't want to do that. I want the people of God to declare, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it is the power of God unto salvation. So, would you check your diaries for the first Sunday in June? I think it's the 3rd. And if you've got a holiday, just cancel it. Just let's be out on force. Some of you might say, oh, do you know, second service, first service, it doesn't quite work for me. Come on, change your plans that Sunday. Let's show Devon that Jesus is alive and changing lives, and let's help people rediscover church. In that one Sunday, we could have more opportunity to help people discover a new understanding of the gospel more than we would all year of meeting in this building. That sounds amazing, doesn't it? We've got so many other things coming up. In September, we've already announced that we're going to start doing monthly baptismal services here. Now, can I be honest with you? The reason we're not doing that because we've got a backlog of people requesting to get baptized. I'm not aware that other than date clashes or we've ever had a circumstance where we've said, sorry, you've got to go on a 12-month waiting list to get baptized, which is sometimes the main reason why things become more frequent. The reason we're doing this is because we believe that the season has shifted and we're going to see more and more people find Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior. And the next season is going to be one where we are going to need to have monthly baptismal services because the seasons are shifting. Because what didn't grow in the spring is going to grow in the summer. And we need to be ready. And I'd much rather get to heaven and say, God, we were ready and you didn't do it, than get to heaven and God say, do you know what? I wanted to do it, but you weren't ready. I know which side of that conversation I want to be on. And I know which side of that conversation I believe we want to be on. There's some practicalities about that. Let me just throw this out, that we need people every month to come on a Saturday to fill this tank, pull the floorboards up, heat the pool, then get the water out, clean it all up afterwards. Surely in a church of 500 people, we can get a whole team of people to do that. Can't we? Yes. Graham, just stand up a second. Would you see Graham if you're able to help with that? Because that will be a phenomenal help in our planning towards that. But I was praying a few months ago, and I felt God ask me a question. And I felt him say, Mark, if 200 people came into the church on Sunday for the first time and all responded to the gospel, would you be ready to look after them really well and to disciple them? I thought about the question and I answered God with something he didn't ask me. Because I said, I think we could do better than we could have done 12 months ago. I think we've improved. I think we're in a stronger position than we would have been then. But I felt the reminder of the question, but could you look after 200 people, extra new people, really well? And I had to conclude and say, God, I don't think we could. I don't think we're ready. So we got this dichotomy. 1.1 million people that I believe God has given us faith to be a part of the church in Devon to see have a genuine opportunity to come to know Jesus. My faith is there. If you just think as I throw that out that that's just a blasé statement, you need to hang out with me for a few hours because it's not. We believe this. We're committed to this. This is not just banding around some nice captions. We really believe that God wants this county to have a clear understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ so they can make a decision whether to follow him or not. Most people haven't, they're not missing from churches this morning because they've chosen not to follow Jesus. They don't know him. How will they hear unless we go and tell them? So I have faith to believe that God is raising up this church and other churches across Devon to reach the 1.1 million. So I got faith for that. And then, can we look after 200? That seems like such a small amount compared to the 1.1 million, but we can't even do the 200, God. So we're going to be launching in the weeks ahead something called Project 200. And I'm looking out of a church of over 500 people for 200 people who will say, we want to learn and commit our ways to helping one other person grow in their walk with Jesus. If we could get an army of 200 people who are ready for that, we can gather together before Sunday service and say, now God, we're ready. We can do this. And then I think that 200 next year could become 400. That 400 could become 800. And I believe the multiplication. I don't know whether this is just like, what has Mark been taking before today? This is just like, what's he on about? I don't know if that's how this is coming across. But what I'm trying to put out to you is that there's a season shift. There is a season shift. That the invitation is whether you carry on wearing your winter clothes or whether you join us in the new season. I pray that the new season will be something we step into. When I just finish with one, and finally, when I go overseas for holidays, it's a bit different to deciding what I wear today. So to decide what I wear today, I look out the window, I look at what the weather's doing. I might pick up my app on my phone and see what's expected. And I might think it's going to be a sunny day, but I'll tip my umbrella anyway. It's the UK. But when you go overseas, you know, it's a bit different because you've not seen what's there. You're packing your bags by faith. You're packing your bags expecting to find a different season. And you put in the stuff that's most appropriate for that place you're going. I believe this week of prayer is a week to sort out the stuff that we're packing in our case. It's a week to prepare for a new season. And I want to invite you to join with us. Wouldn't it be amazing if on Tuesday night there were hundreds of people gathered on our Devon prayer net online? It'd be amazing to say, well, you know, it's something on the TV that night at that time. Come on, record it. You don't have to give it up, just record it. But let's have hundreds of us across Devon praying online together and saying, we're going to step into the new season. There's a shift. We're taking off the winter coat. And we're putting our flip-flops on. And we are getting ready. Our hunger is something God is concerned about. John 7, just to finish on this, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Anyone thirsty? Anyone thirsty? Let them drink. I believe in this new season that the thing that will prepare you most is your thirst for it. It's the anticipation, the desire. Come on, let's stand together to finish. Church, maybe your response this week is that, you know, to shift into a new season, there's some stuff you're going to have to let go of. Some stuff has become comfortable and familiar. You just have to let go of it. Because you're committed to the next season, not the last. Father, I pray your grace will touch our lives and prepare us. Father, I pray that we'll be a thirsty people. Maybe church this week, there are some things to fast. Fasting is you give up something. It's an expression of a desire that you want something. It's an evidence, if you like, of your thirst. And that could be varied. The Bible often talks about fasting food, but it's wider than that. It's giving up something within the rhythm of your life that you know you can live without, even though it's going to be challenging for you, in order for you to step into something new. This is a week of prayer and fasting. Make a decision to download the app and to connect with the resources we put out and to join with the prayers of God's people right across Devon and to declare we're stepping into a new season, God.